another note, Bomani, your hair looks fantastic. I feel like you're coming into your own. I feel like you're really figuring out your routine.
I'm figuring things out.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. You just saw some hair envy there from Dominique Foxworth. Resplendent as ever. A lot of football to get to. Let's go.
Are the Steelers complete frauds?
Okay, from an 11-game winning streak, we go now to a 2-game losing streak. Can you put up on the video here Mike Tomlin taking the picture last night that would introduce him graphically to America? He is wide-eyed. He is not blinking. He has said the Steelers will not blink, and now they blink 2 weeks in a row. I think any assessment on the measurements of this team have to, just everywhere in football, run through the prism of the virus. The Baltimore Ravens are not what they've been since last year because they've lost a lot of players to COVID. That defense last night was not what it's been all season. Josh Allen is a different quarterback if you do not pressure him, and you can't get pressure in the state that the Steelers are in. I would not call them frauds. I would say, however, that is how a quarterback is supposed to age before Tom Brady and Drew Brees. It looks like that. Ben Roethlisberger has not taken care of himself the way those two guys have. Scrambling around the pocket, he looks like a skyscraper with legs. You can see on him, he does not look like the specimen, and not being able to throw deep late in that game when they needed him to throw deep accurately is exactly the thing that will end them. They've been trying to hide him all season long with all this short stuff, and you are seeing right there that Tom Brady has aged 5 years better than that guy has.
Yeah, I would say they aren't frauds because nobody really ever believed in them. You remember they were undefeated and no one really put them atop their power rank. It's like we all knew what was happening the whole time. Then they had these defensive injuries when if there was any chance of them making a deep playoff run, it was going to be on the wings of that defense and hope that Ben Roethlisberger is able to summon a little bit of magic here and there, get some short passes to those outstanding receivers, and they'll make big plays out of it. So I think we all knew what we were looking at along the way. But what did happen is suddenly the receivers forgot how to catch. And if you can't run the ball and you can't catch 3-yard passes, you don't have an offense, especially when your quarterback seems to not be able to throw the ball past 5 to 10 yards effectively. So I don't think they're frauds. I think they got the benefit of being on a really easy schedule and some lucky breaks here or there, but this is the team we all knew they were the whole time.
Well, look, the way that they're going to get this done, if they get it done, is with the 2015 Denver model, right? Where they have the aging quarterback that you hope can just be competent in the end, but can't really do anything to like really positively affect your chances of winning. But they can't run the ball, so they are dependent on the arm of the guy whose arm is at an age where the damn thing might just fall off, right? That's a tough go for Pittsburgh to have in this. I don't know how they're going to make it happen because the 2015 Broncos analogy falls apart once Bud Dupree gets hurt. If he's still playing and they got Watt on one side and him on the other, then they might be a team that could run through the playoffs just getting heat on people. Now they can get a lot of heat as opposed to all the heat, and I don't know if a lot of heat is going to wind up being enough. But let me tell America a story, right? Last week, I did a podcast with Dominique, the tool assistant Foxworth over there, when we were talking about Josh Allen. And I was talking about the fact, in large part, he's gotten better than I thought that he could ever get, right? And Dominique made the point that he's not as evolved as me because I'm not a hater. And he sometimes likes when Josh Allen does poorly because of all the people that come into our mentions. He likes to see those people get unhappy. Bills Mafia takes a clip of this, right? They put it on the internet. They send it around. Everybody gets furious. And you know what Bills fans do now when they get furious with somebody? They want to prove to you that they're such good people that they donate to a charity that's associated with you. I lie to you not. As of this moment, it's over $5,000
yes.
The Buffalo Bills fans have donated to the National Diaper Bank Network. And I am here to tell you guys, Josh Allen was not good last night.
No!
Okay? Can you say that?
No.
It's okay to we don't dislike the dude. He just averaged 5.5 yards an attempt in the game yesterday, right?
Thank you
so much for what you're doing for people who
yes.
are in need.
Yes.
But that don't mean I'm going to get on
no.
TV and lie to you about
charitable.
It today.
Be charitable. I can't believe you guys are still out here saying, hey, donate a good cause charity.
Tell me.
But
tell
the quarterback
me.
Is still
tell
playing
me.
Like
tell
something
me.
That
tell
requires
tell
diapers.
Tell
don't
me.
Do that.
Tell me. Did he play well last night?
I mean, he won.
Because the problem
well
is
enough.
When he plays like that, they try to tell me he played well against San Francisco. There's no question about that. He ain't looked like that yesterday. DiaperNetwork.com. Well, no, it's not even.
What is it? You need to know what the charity is. You need to know what the charity is. How can people donate to the charity?
It's the National Diaper Bank Network. Those are the folks. If you Google my name and Diaper Bank Network, it will come up for you. They are at Diaper Bank on Twitter.
That's nice.
Good job, Bills Mafia.
That's nice.
Should the Eagles commit to Jalen Hurts?
Look at that. Carson Wentz gets out of there. The Eagles win a game. They win it over the Saints, who may have been the best team in the NFL up until this point. The Saints hadn't let a single player run for 100 yards in 56 games, and two of them did it for the Eagles. I don't know if you go all the way with Jalen Hurts, but I know damn well you don't go back to no Carson Wentz at this point. Like, best case scenario right now for Wentz is that he's in a position where he just needs a hard reset. And if he needs a hard reset, go ahead and let him have it. But at this point, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. Maybe he looks so terrible next week that you just can't bring him back. But as of right now, I can't imagine a circumstance where you go into the locker room in Philadelphia and say, all right, Carson, you back in the game. No, dog, you lose everybody.
I mean, injury is the only way that I think Carson gets back in the game. How many bad games did Carson get? They got to give Jalen at least half of that, and that'll take him through the rest of the season. So, yes, it's his team from this point forward, and I'm not even sure that you go back to Carson Wentz next year. Like, I understand all the money you have invested in him, but if he plays like he's been playing, then you don't want that. And it's hard to argue up until this point. And I was one of the people who still understood that Carson was playing pretty poorly, but the offensive line wasn't protecting him. He didn't have the weapons. For much of the season, the defense wasn't there. Like, I saw all those as reasons to explain it. Even if you wanted to come with that as your excuse, you can't now, after seeing Jalen Hurts beat the best team in the NFC, at least. We all accepted that. The best team in the NFC, he beat them. Though he wasn't great himself, what he did that was most impressive was make good decisions consistently. That's all you need, is be competent. He was able to be competent and not do ridiculous things, not turn over the ball, not try to make plays when they aren't there. When he threw the ball out of bounds, when he was about to get sacked, it was an Eagles jersey quarterback throwing the ball out of bounds rather than getting sacked. I was like, there it is. Y'all found y'all man.
It is rare for the Saints the last couple of seasons to lose with a backup quarterback. It had not happened until yesterday. Rarer still is the weird situation that you have where you gave a whole bunch of money to a guy that you thought was your franchise quarterback very recently and made him the highest paid at his position, and now he's out of a job. And we don't know if Jalen Hurts is actually good or not, but he's out of a job. So you can cue the loser game show sound here. You can say that the highest paid quarterback back in the league, that designation came and went, and it hurts. You could go ahead and play that sound right now. Wow. Thank you for doing that. You could echo it throughout here, and you need to understand something here. He was pressured. Hurts was 14 times yesterday. This is a stat from Hembo, and none of those plays resulted in negative yardage, 82 yards. That's not something that Wentz gives you when pressured 14 times. Jalen Hurts was not asked to do very much. He did not throw outside. He did not throw down the field. All he did was run the ball and throw on occasion in a way that wasn't dumb. That is better than what Wentz has been this season, because Wentz has been the worst starter in the league. There are too many turnover-prone balls that he has thrown up into the air. Jalen Hurts just protected the ball, and the Eagles just beat a very good team.
Yo, two wild things. One, Hurts didn't even play especially well. Like, the Eagles still will have lots of quarterback questions for the future after this happens. And it still worked. Like, it's basically at the point of anybody but Carson Wentz. The other wild part, they renegotiate his contract, and he's available for trade in the offseason. There will be a line of teams willing to give up a first-round pick to get him.
Ah, you just made me sad. We were having a good time, making jokes, laughing. The Eagles maybe have something to be positive about, and then you just reminded me that you're right. There are going to be a line of teams like, yeah, we're going to be able to get him back.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
Now they're in a position that I think is advantageous to them, that's similar to where Washington was, and that's similar to where the state of Mississippi was. They could do it without it looking like somebody made them do it. Because the biggest objection that I think that most people have to changing these names is not the names themselves. They don't really give a damn about these names.
Highly Questionable is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of happy hour. And in part by Duracell Optimum. Are the Dolphins closer to contention than you thought? Or did Patrick Mahomes just have a bad day?
Okay, the Chargers came close to beating the Chiefs. The Broncos came close to beating the Chiefs. There are no moral victories in this sport. The Dolphins at home, the Dolphins, a good football team at home, had a 4-1 turnover advantage and were down 30-10 at the start of the fourth quarter. Because that's right, that's the proper response there, because that team is so good at football, and Tyreek Evans makes athletes look like they're not athletes, and Travis Kelce leads the league as a tight end in receiving yards, and it's the best quarterback you've ever seen back there. That team is absurd. It is not fair, and the Dolphins have a lot of things to be positive about, but they're not in that realm because nobody's in that realm.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins should be excited about their future because they have a team that doesn't have very many holes, but they still have a lot of draft capital to go forward and build this team. So are they going to be a Super Bowl contender in the near future? Yes, their window is starting to creak open right now, but this ain't the year. And I think Dan put a nice point on it with that 4-1 turnover ratio. You know, everyone talks about every week in football, the first thing that we don't even have to say because all fans know it, you win the turnover battle, you win the game. They won that thing by 3 and still lost. So absolutely no. If getting through the Chiefs is how they're going to have to get to the Super Bowl, then no, I don't feel more confident about them than I did before. I do feel pretty confident that Tua is going to be their quarterback going forward, and they have a chance to win a championship in the near future. But if you win 4-1 in a turnover battle and you still lose to a team, you're not better than that team.
Now, shout out to Tyreek Evans, who I haven't thought about in a while since Dan accidentally called Tyreek Hill Tyreek Evans. Now, here's one thing about Tyreek Hill, though. He's got something in common with my man, too, and I don't feel like I'm the only person that feels this way. Man, both of them look so little when they out there playing football. Now, it doesn't matter so much with Tyreek Hill because he's the fastest human being in pads. But I watched Tua out there and watched some of those throws, and I'm impressed by what he is capable of. But I do look at that long term, and I'm like, hey, man, if you're going to be that size and be that guy, you got to be Drew Brees. You got to be Russell Wilson. And I don't know if he's that guy necessarily, because as frightening as the Chiefs are, you get 3 picks from Patrick Mahomes and you have a defense as good as the Dolphins have. That's a game that you should win. Like, the giving up the 30 is a problem. The only scoring 10 off of those turnovers up until that point, that is just as big of a problem. So if I'm the Dolphins, I admit I'm a little disappointed that we did not get more out of our quarterback, especially since we made the decision with our team that we think is going to the playoffs and has a chance to make some noise. That dude couldn't really do anything to help us in this game where we needed our quarterback to help us the most.
What do you make of Cleveland's baseball team's decision to reportedly change their name?
I really felt like the Cleveland baseball team was saying to itself after the noise had quieted in the streets, we got away with one. We can stay here for a while. So I was surprised that this trickled out, because the Washington football team was surrounded by these allegations of sexual harassment made by the Washington Post in a thorough examination. So there was some pressure on that team to do right. But now I wonder, guys, if it's going to be very long before the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Braves have to start looking at some of this stuff. Kansas City, I remind you, at the start of some of this pandemic football stuff, their fans were booing Unity. So if we're coming after the Cleveland baseball team for changing its name, how far are we from the Tomahawk Chop and the names like Braves and Chiefs being under threat as well? Because I remember in 1991, this is 30 years ago, this is the Braves and the Twins in a World Series, Native Americans outside of the stadium protesting the Tomahawk Chop and the Braves. This has been 30 years in the making. It just got here after 3 decades.
Let's talk about the real reason why we're here. The man who got the name changed himself, we have him. Bomani Jones wore a t-shirt on Mike and Mike a few years back. And let's be honest, that's the only reason why we got here. Thanks, Bomani.
Thank you, civil rights warrior.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bomani.
Yeah. Like, I have said this repeatedly, and I do think it bears note, man. People that made this happen are the Native people, the activists that have been on the ground grinding on this for a very, very long time, right? I wore a t-shirt on television one time. That ain't nearly the same thing, right? But this is what I think happened, Dan. When it happened with Washington, to me, it's very similar to what happened with the change of the state flag in the state of Mississippi. Everything was going on around George Floyd, and there was this big swirl of activity around it. But there was no real push at that time to make Washington change that name. There was no real push at that time to make Mississippi change their flag. Somewhere along the way, money on various levels said, Now's the time for us to go ahead and do this before somebody does it for us. And then they went ahead and do that. Cleveland seemed like they had been stepping in this direction for a while as they had de-emphasized that abominable caricature that they had been using all of those years. They had backed away from it, and now they're in a position that I think is advantageous to them, that's similar to where Washington was and that's similar to where the state of Mississippi was. They could do it without it looking like somebody made them do it, because the biggest objection that I think that most people have to changing these names is not the names themselves. They don't really give a damn about these names. Like, the Washington team swore up and down they could never change it because people would be so mad. They ain't even got no damn name and don't nobody care about that fact, right? Like, that isn't the issue. What white folks don't like is people telling them what to do. And once it feels like somebody's telling the nearest white man what to do, that's when people buck up. This one's going to wind up going through because that's not the way that it looks. So if the Chiefs at any point or the Braves at any point decide, hey, this is what we want to do, they'll be able to do it quietly and get it done. The difference is people haven't been knocking on their doors the way they had in Washington and the way in Cleveland. It ain't the same push behind them to try to make them change that name. They don't want to change it. They've come out and clearly said, no, we think it's cool. We want to keep it. We've talked to some native people, like that kind of stuff. I don't even know who the hell they wound up talking to, but that's the way they played it. So until they're in a place where they want to and they can look like they're doing it because they want to, they're going to wind up keeping those names. And we as a public are going to have to decide if we deem this appropriate.
Questionable is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of happy hour. Do you question if this penalty is the reason that Florida lost to LSU?
All right, I am curious whether my colleagues here will be cruel with their laughter or feel for a college kid who basically just threw away an excellent Florida team's chances at a playoff. I think we've got a clue there what Bomani's going to do. Let's check in the end of this game. They're college kids. Okay, let's go to the end of this game. Should have been a punt right after this, but then, yeah, you see what happens there. A shoe is thrown 20 yards down the field.
Look at all the flags.
Here come the flags. And then it's also funny here. Let's play the audio here because the ref makes.
Number 11 of the defense throwing the LSU player's shoe 20 yards down the field.
I feel so bad for that kid. I did. He just ruined their entire season.
He got away with it, though. They pinned it on number 11. It was number 3 who did it, so he got away with it. And does it matter that it was 20 yards? If he would only tossed it 5, would it have been okay?
No, that's how incredulous he was. Like, it's the same way it's going to sound when he goes home, but he's going to be like, and then he threw it 20 yards down the field. What were you doing? You're out here talking about he's a college kid. I feel bad for him. For what? What is there to feel bad for him for?
Oh, Bomani, because he's going into that locker room and his teammates are like, what are we kind of find? And then a 57-yard field goal in college. It's funny, but it's also cruel.
The teammates normally rally around you because they know how much you put in. They care about you the same way you care about them. That's called learning a lesson. I bet you he grows from this experience. That's what college is all about. You know how many bad decisions I made in college that I would no longer make going forward?
Dominique. Y'all rallying around the dude that threw the shoe down the field.
That's right.
Like, are y'all going to rally around it that day? I feel I would need to wait until tomorrow.
That day, you say things that suggest that you rally around him, but you don't really. You say, it's all right, bro. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But then you go back to your dorm room and you're like, this man, we was about to win.
A shoe. We got the best offense we've had since Werfel and Spurrier, and he threw a shoe.
Tonight on ESPN, Monday Night Football, Ravens and Browns.
Biggest Browns game this century. Let's check in with Baker Mayfield talking about the office, kind of in disguise.
What's different about you now as opposed to a month ago, last year, whatever? Is it something looks different? What's different?
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that.
Very good. Dom, are you intrigued?
I mean, obviously, I'm intrigued by this game, but I think this is the game that people thought last week's game was, because Baker has struggled in much of his career at hitting tight coverage situations. Last week, they didn't have much tight coverage, and everyone's writing about how Baker is the man all of a sudden. So, yes, we'll find out how good Baker really is, because just not doing what an idiot would do is not going to be enough for them to beat the Ravens.
Bo, how about you? You intrigued?
I am intrigued and trying to think of the last time this late into the season I was intrigued by a Browns game for reasons that had anything to do with the actual football. Like, I'm struggling to come up with it. This game has legitimate intrigue. Oh, all right. I said intrigue like that isn't the whole concept of this thing. Like, I thought I had broke out this word for the moment. Yeah. In fact, that's like what the whole thing is.
Our work is done here. If you want more Bomani Jones, why would you not? The right time with Bomani Jones. And check out Dominique Foxworth. He's really smart, and he's at the undefeated.
I'm gonna tell you did a good job right now, but when we get back to the locker room, me and Dan will be like, you know, that last segment. Intrigue.
How many times he was going to say intrigue?
How intrigued can you be?
Extra intrigue. Extra bonus intrigue.